Getting ready to open the Word of God, and I would like to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 16. The Word of God will be proclaimed, and then I'm going to invite the boys and girls to come forward. I mean, the Word of God is going to be read. So 1 Timothy is going to be our focus. We covered part of that last week, and we'll pick it up this week again. I'm going to start reading at verse 7 in a culture that Timothy was living in. It was a godless culture, not too unlike our own culture, a culture that is shaking their fist at God, a culture that wants to do what it wants to do, when it wants to do it, how it wants to do it, and Timothy is called to lead the congregation in the midst of that. So the instruction begins in verse 7 of 1 Timothy 4. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Timothy, be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Congregation of Jesus Christ, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite boys and girls to come forward at this time. Any boy and girl that is here would like to have a piece of candy and another special gift that we're handing out today, come forward. All right. Are you glad to be here today? Good. I'm glad that you're here today too. We're talking about godliness. Do you remember what that is? Okay. Being very, very good is part of that. Yes. Being holy, being set apart for God. So yeah, those are two. Being very good. It's, let's say it this way, it's trying to be more like Jesus every day. Now you know who Jesus is, right? Can you tell me, what do you know about Jesus? What are some things that you know about him? Yeah, go ahead. He's our Savior, yeah. Did not hear that. But I think you're right on to something. Anything else? What else do you know about Jesus? Did he heal anybody? Yeah? Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's a whole sermon right there. One of his first miracles there was he turned the water into wine. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. So he did some healing. He held children in his arms. He did good wherever he went. He always obeyed his father. Now, the being godly means that we have to be like Jesus. Can we do all of those things? Can you turn water to wine? No, that's probably not something that we can do. Yeah. But we do need to become more like Jesus. How would we do that? So the last question, how? How do we become more like Jesus? Yeah. We obey his commandments. If you love me, said Jesus, you will obey my commandments. That's good. Go to church. That's a great way. It's called one of the ways in which we become more like Jesus. Going to church regularly, hearing the word proclaimed. Yeah. I have a special gift for you today. It's a reminder. Years ago, when I was about your age, there was this thing called, What Would Jesus Do? And they challenged us. Always ask yourself, if you're going to do something, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? And so we have some bracelets here that say WWJD. In other words, what would Jesus do? And you can pick out your favorite color and you can remind yourself, put it on your wrist. One of my favorite colors is blue. And so I'm going to pick out the blue one. Is it? Well, if you run out of blue ones, you can have mine, and I'll go with my second favorite color. You can have whatever color you would like. There you go. And remind yourself, what would Jesus do? Which color? Okay. Did you get one? All right. So always remind ourselves, what would Jesus do, by some of the ways in which you said that. You just don't make it up, but we learn in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are a good place to learn what Jesus did and then to say, oh, Jesus, help me. Because he not only sets an example for us, but he helps us. So if there's any other boys and girls that would like a bracelet, yeah, see me afterwards. I'll stand right outside there, and I'll try to remember to bring this package out there. And you can get your WWJD, and then we can learn to be more godly. Let's say our prayer together that begins with, may your words, okay? Can you say it with me really loud?
Yes.
All right. So, may your words, O Lord, be always on our minds, on our lips, and deep in our hearts. And also with you. All right. So there we have it. Grab two pieces, please. Two of your favorite kinds. So Paul challenged Timothy to train yourselves to be godly. What a challenge that is for each one of us. Train yourself to be godly. I want to lean into that a little bit more. He began that by saying, have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tale. If I were to paraphrase that, I would say something like, don't live by lies. Learn to figure out the difference between truth and a lie. Avoid it with like a 10-foot pole. Keep that lie away from you. In fact, if you see a lie, run the other way. Because we live in a world of lies. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is watch advertisement of any kind. Political ads are a great one for that. This time of the year, there's a lot of lies going on. A lot of lies. And so if we're not vigilant for truth, we can be easily deceived because the lies sometimes can't contain enough truth that it seems like, it's pretty possible that that's the truth. So we have to learn what the truth is. And the best defense against lies is a good offense. And Paul says, train yourselves to be godly. Train yourselves. He's borrowing this from the term of athletics. In the participants of the competitive games in those days, when athlete trained and when they train now, they're training because they want to gain an edge on the opponent, right? If I could be just a little bit bigger or find the right formula to overcome my enemy or my opponent, then I can win the games. I have to learn to say no, a loud no, to some ungodly habits, or if you're running, some kind of bad habits that slow you down. So you have to learn to say no to the wrong kind of foods that can slow you down and make you feel heavy as you're running. And you have to say yes to other activities. Now, we know that as parents, this training component in Proverbs says, train your child in the way he or she should go. Train them. Train them. We want to teach and impart for them a model. We want to give our children the tools that they need so that when they need to make choices as they grow older, they will be able to make those choices in a way that leads them to a life devoted to God. That's the Christian goal in life. We don't want them just to grow up and to be a productive in this world. We want them to be productive beyond this world, like Enoch, who walked with God day after day, and then he walked right into heaven, and he's continuing to grow even now. That is Enoch, but that's our goal, and it takes a lot of work to train us. We had a council meeting this past week, and I'm one of my council members. He said, you know, my parents were really mean to me. They made me go to church twice. And every day at every meal, they read the Bible. That was mean. He said, you would not believe what I went to church, and I was not happy. I counted ceiling tiles when I was in church. I went with an attitude like that. Am I speaking to any boys and girls here? Did you have mean parents like that too? Made you go to church and made you go to Sunday school and you got to do it, and you tolerated it, and you had a bad attitude. I think maybe I'm preaching to myself. But, oh, what a joy. That man is on our council, and he's a man of God. And he is now grateful, and we're grateful that he doesn't have that same kind of attitude now. There's no ceiling tiles for him to count here, but maybe he's counting pillars. I don't know what he's doing here, but he doesn't have a bad attitude, and we're thankful for that. That's part of training for godliness. We need to learn truth from error, and proper training and discipline. It says we can produce a harvest of righteousness and peace. What are some principles? I just want to say two things. First of all, you and I are personally responsible for training. I know, as we said last week, it's God's work to work in us the desire and the strength to become more and more like Jesus, but you and I need to apply ourselves. At certain times, we need to just take ownership for our walk with Jesus Christ. You can't just say, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Lord and Savior. I'll profess my faith in Jesus Christ, and then that's it. No, there has to be an application. You need to work out what God has worked in. It's almost like godliness is an elusive thing. There it is. Let's try to get it. No, there it is. Let's try to get it. We have to run hard after it. It's not going to come by osmosis. It's not going to just happen. I love how Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 9:24. He says, run in such a way as to get the prize. I don't know if you watch the Olympics, but boy, some of those athletes, the things they could do, the speed at which they could do it, the skill that they showed in their area of expertise was just amazing, and that didn't just happen. Paul said, everyone who competes goes into strict training, and they're doing it to get a crown that will not last. But we are doing it to get a crown that will last forever. So therefore, Paul says, I don't run aimlessly. I'm just not chasing anything. My focus is to become more like Jesus Christ. I don't just shadow box. No, I actually try to find an opponent to learn how to box. I do not want to be disqualified from the prize. I wonder, in our heart of hearts, as we're thinking about becoming more like Jesus Christ, is there an edge to your training? Do you, like, take ownership, say, I need to do this. I need to learn more and more about Jesus. Or is there a kind of a passive, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week? I don't know. Take ownership. Pursue holiness. Pursue godliness. It's not surprising to me. We are so disciplined in many areas of our life. I'm impressed when I see the goals that we make for our life, and we shoot for it, and we try to achieve things, and we apply ourselves, we make sacrifices. But when it comes to our spiritual walk, it's discouraging sometimes to see how quickly we don't lift a finger. We just expect it to happen. We need to fix our eyes on the prize, put our shoulder to the plow, as it were, to pursue it with all of our heart. Train yourself. And the second part of that is train for growth. What's the goal we're shooting for? Becoming more like Jesus Christ so that we can live in a world of lies. Timothy needed to grow in his devotion to God, which includes, as we saw a few weeks ago, we have to learn to fear God. We learn to love God. We need that desire for God more and more. A question. Do I hunger to know Jesus Christ? Is that our passion? We want to be more like him every day? Are we taking advantages of the means of grace? Coming to church regularly is one of those. Hearing the word proclaimed. It's an awesome responsibility to stand at this end to say that your spiritual well-being is on my shoulders. I feel the weight of that. But is there a hunger there that says, no, I really want to learn more? Then we ask the question, how are we to train? And here I want to just say three things. Number one, there has to be a commitment. If we're going to train ourselves for growth, we need to be ready to pay the price, to do whatever it takes. No one ever becomes godly without committing themselves to that pursuit. So can you say with David, as we sang in Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you and longs for you. I feel deeply in all of our hearts there is that desire, that hunger, to know him better. Do we have that? Can we tap into that hunger? Paul says, Jeremiah talks about this. He says, you will seek me and find me, says the Lord, when you seek me with all of your heart. That is a great passage on the desire that we need for Jesus. Do you know, by the way, that passage comes on the heels of one of those passages we love to quote, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and future. And then right after that, you want that hope, you want the true longing, then seek me with all of your heart. Are we seeking him? All this seeking, pressing, thirsting falls on us. So we need to be committed to it. Secondly, I think we need a good mentor in our life. Do you have a good mentor? May I propose to you one who will fit all of our needs? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a great mentor. You see, no athlete, no matter how much natural ability they have, goes into training without a coach. A coach who understands the game, who knows the athlete, who sees every minute detail, and who holds them to a high standard. So we cannot train ourselves to be godly. I know I just said it's up to you, but here's the balance of that. You need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit knows us well, inside out, knows God. And only the Holy Spirit can give us a longing for the Word of God. We'll get into that in just a little bit, but I'm not just talking about getting a head knowledge of the Bible. I want to make that very clear. It's not just knowing Bible facts that you can say, you know, win every kind of Bible trivia contest there. That's not the same thing as the Holy Spirit mentoring our hearts and leading and direct us. Only the Holy Spirit can pry us loose from our spiritual pride that we may have in how much we know, the doctrines that we hold. That's one thing, that's up here. But when it gets down into our hearts and filters out into our life, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So get that skilled mentor. He's available for all of us. And then the last thing I want to say about how we are to train is practice. Practice, practice. There's no shortcut, no matter what you're trying to learn. There's no shortcut for being the best possible representation of Jesus that we can be. We have to put in the work day in, day out. Staying faithful means that God is using the Holy Spirit, but we are to put on Christ-like characteristics. So we need that training manual of God's Word. And that's where I want to just highlight something that you already know, but I'm going to, in the balance of this sermon, just say, well, how do we access the Holy Spirit? The Word of God. The Word of God. Years ago, Navigators came out with, what does that look like in our life? He says you need to be consistently in the Bible, and they had kind of like the hands, five fingers. There's five different things that we use. Number one is hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. It's the most common way to do that. That's why we're gathered here this morning. That's why around this city, people are coming. They're not just coming to hear a speech. They're coming to hear the Word of God and to take it in and to hear a person who has mined the treasure of these pages and then to present it out. Again, that's a hard calling, but we need to put ourselves under the regular teaching of God's Word, and I think it happens best in community. We need to be like the Bereans. They're a group of people that are talked about in the New Testament book of Acts. The Bereans, they listened to what Paul had to say, but then they compared it to the scriptures that they had to make sure that Paul was speaking the truth. That's your job too. That's why I have elders to keep me accountable. They say, okay, Anson, we've been listening to you today, and what is it that you are proclaiming? They need to make sure that what is proclaimed is from the gospel. So hearing the Word of God. Secondly, reading. Reading. We're so blessed. We live in a culture where we have more Bibles. I wonder if I did a poll here. How many Bibles do you have in your house? Reading the Word of God every day. Here's a little thing. Logos Bible software, it's a software that I have. It's a Bible study tool. I recommend it to everybody. But they did a study of 400,000 people that were accessing the Logos Bible Study software. And the first thing was, it was bad news. Right now in our culture, the bad news is the biblical illiteracy is at an all-time high. All-time high. In one generation, we're losing that ability to know what the Bible is and what it means. And then, secondly, the researchers, they really wanted to see what Bible engagement looks like, how it makes a difference in people's lives. I think you'll find this encouraging and challenging. Something happens in our life when we're consistently in God's Word. What they discovered is, if you read the Bible at least one time a week, one time a week, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are reading it one time a week? No difference in your life. Reading it two times a week, no difference in your life. Reading it three times a week, no difference. Four times, something begins to happen in people's lives. It says, feeling lonely dropped 30%. Anger issues, four times a week, dropped 32%. Bitterness in relationships dropped 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%, four times in the Word of God. Addiction to pornography, 60%. Feeling distant from the Lord or spiritually stagnant drops 62%. Here's something else, because you're regularly in the Word. This is the challenge. You're regularly in the Word. Sharing your faith, what you learn from the Scripture, is so exciting. You cannot keep the good news inside. It jumps up 200%. You want to share the good news with others because you understand the Word of God. And discipling others, those you work with, family, people you do life together with, it jumps 230% in your life. Now, is that a different kind of a lifestyle? Reading God's Word. I don't think I need to say anything more. Just get into the Word. If you're not there yet, pray, God, make me like that. Not just so I can have a better life and get by, so that I can grow old, have a nice retirement. Yes. But there's more to life than this. Just ask Enoch. That's from Genesis 5, for those of you who weren't there to hear that. Then Bible studying. Don't just read the Word of God and check your list. You can do that, but Bible study is the third finger. We learned from people's successes and failures, from Abel's faithful sacrifices, to Enoch's walk with God, to Abraham, a man of faith who trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. We learn about the scope of God's faith throughout the Scripture. Bible study is very, very important. Proverbs 2:1-5 says, "My son, if you accept my words," that's being teachable, "and store up my commandments within you," it's a part of you. It's intentional obedience to the Word of God. "If you turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding," applying your heart is an inner discipline that comes with reading the Word of God. "Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding," that's prayerful dependence on the Word of God. The result of these principles is found, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of the Holy One." Fourth finger, memorizing God's Word. Memorizing, learn. I have countless stories of people that have, as children, learned some scripture passages. It wasn't too long ago I heard somebody in the children's service just rattle off a verse that they had memorized. That was a beautiful thing. That will stay with you forever. Nobody can take that away from you ever. There may come a time where they'll say, take all the Bibles out of every house. I mean, it's precedent. It's been done before. But they cannot take what's stored up in your heart. Memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119 says, I have hidden the Word of God in my heart that I might not sin against Him. And finally, meditation. Don't just memorize and get it in your head, but think about what does the passage mean. Chew on it regularly. Don't just listen to this sermon and then go out, but try to find time throughout the day. What did I learn? What was the Holy Spirit telling me during this service? Is there a sin I need to confess? Is there an action I need to take? Is there somebody I need to speak to? Well, listen to that voice as you're meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God will direct us. Paul was very direct to Timothy. He said, train yourself. So we know that we're to engage in the process. Of course, we are dependent on God, but we have to do our part. How will you train differently this week? Boys and girls, are you counting ceiling tiles? Are you bored? Even now? What will you do differently that you can endure this time and learn to be a godly man and a woman of God? Church, here's one for all of us. What could we do to make sure that the next generation of believers will not live by lies, but by the truth of God's word? Amen. Father, your word is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. Thank you for giving it to us, for providing everything that we need to understand what's in your word and how to pursue godliness. We yearn, we long for the truth of your word, like travelers thirsting for water in a dry and weary desert. By your Spirit, do whatever it takes, Lord, to embed your word into the heart and life of each individual, each member, each growth group, each study, each encounter that we have, embed your word so that we can be more Christ-like and then give you all glory and strength with our life. Do this, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. Let's say thank you to God in the giving of our tithes and our offerings. This morning, our offerings will be received for